Conclusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Mr. Philip Berg, who has been working for some time on this whole question of what really happened that morning of September 11th, 2001. Mr. Berg, thank you so very much for being with us again.
It's my pleasure.
Well, tell us, how did you really get involved with this whole issue of what happened on 911?
Well, first of all, thank you for airing this topic, which so many individuals in the media and the corporate media will not discuss, because the evidence is overwhelming that the story given to us by our government is a blatant lie. I hate even to call them that. But when I saw President Bush being told something by Andy Card, and they repeated to us that Andy Card, the chief of staff, told the president a second plane has hit the World Trade Center, our country's under attack, and then when I saw no change in the facial expression of Bush, my reaction was he knew about it. Second, later that day, I'm located right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, so our local TV market reaches the Pittsburgh, which is like 300 miles away, and I saw that afternoon a broadcast from a female reporter, and I don't remember the station, but it just stuck in my mind. She says, I'm standing here 5 miles from the crash scene of flight number 93, and look behind me, and here you can see debris and suitcases from that plane. Well, if a plane crashes, debris does not bounce 5 miles. So I knew at that moment that that plane had been shot down, and they can show whatever movie they want after movie that they're making about how the heroes, and don't get me wrong, I'm not taking away anything from anyone who died on 9/11 because they're all heroes. But what the tragedy is that there are no outspoken Democrats or independents or even Republicans in this country that are questioning the administration's tale, and that's the tale of what happened on 9/11. Because 9/11 is absolute a lie, what they told us. How I got involved, about a year later, I received a telephone call from an Ellen Mariani, and she said, she called me up and she said she had gotten my name from a radio talk show host, because she said she called up and she asked the radio talk show host, I need an attorney with brass you-know-what, so I'm not sure if I could say that on your show. And I said, you got the guy. And I got involved in there, and we filed a RICO lawsuit. RICO stands for Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organization Act. The RICO Act was created by the United States Congress in the 1960s to go after the mafia or the mob. It's our position that there's a mob in the White House, and really my efforts for the past 3 years, I want to get them, and I think if we can, and as long as people will speak out and look into the basic facts, we can get them. Bush and Cheney should be in jail for treason and murder. And I know that's a strong statement I'm saying, but there's no way. One of my favorite sayings is as follows. Bush and his cronies either made 9/11 happen or let it happen.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment here with Mr. Philip Berg, and we're going to be talking about 9/11. We'll welcome your calls from out across America here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Philip Berg, who is an attorney who has, at least in the past, represented Ellen Mariani, who was her husband who was killed during the 9/11 incident, the tragedy. And the question comes up, what really happened this morning? Does anybody honestly think hijackers just spontaneously, just accidentally scheduled their attack on the World Trade Center and on the Pentagon on the very morning when the Defense Department was playing war games, and one of those war games was there was a plane that was hijacked and was going to crash into the CIA headquarters, and when the calls kept coming into the air traffic controllers, they were confused. In fact, one of them said, is this a real hijacking or is this part of the exercise? I mean, are we supposed to believe that knowing full well there was going to be an attack on America because the president's presidential daily briefing of August 6th, if you haven't read it, we'll be glad to send you one. The headline is, Bin Laden Determined to Attack in America. There are two references in that daily briefing to the possibility of hijacking planes, the plan to hijack planes here in the United States. And with that, there are only two fighter planes or two fighter wings in the entire nation. Of all of the various the fighter wings that we have, only two of them were carrying any weapons that morning. Is it simply by accident that Building 7 came down? It was a full block away from the 911 attack. And they knew it was coming down because they pulled the firemen out and told them, the building's going to come down. You better get out of the building. How did they know that building was going to come down, Building number 7? And it came down when the whole base of the building exploded. Now, why would it do that if there was a fire in the upper floors of the building? Certainly it wasn't hit by anything at that time. And then, of course, the magic passports that escaped the burning inferno in the North Tower and there in Pennsylvania. It's obvious that they were planted by the CIA, and if they were planted by the CIA or FBI or some intelligence agency, they knew who was going to be on those planes. And, of course, within 24 hours, the FBI knew the name of everybody on those planes, who the hijackers were their whole life. And yet they had no idea who they were ahead of time, and now we find out they've been tracking them for a long period of time, and the Able Danger Study has shown that the military, five officers came forward, destroyed their careers by telling the truth. They were tracking Muhammad Atta at least a year before the 911 attack, and somebody went in and destroyed all of the records in the Pentagon. That did not happen by accident. And so if they lie about one thing, then they're lying about everything. And we've got to get to the truth of what happened. Well, Mr. Berg, please go right ahead now. We have all of our listeners back with us. Why don't you go along? Our guest is Mr. Philip Berg, who is an attorney who's been involved in this really for, about almost 3 years?
That's right, sir. And I'm going to continue fighting. The government keeps trying to throw my case out. It's still pending in federal court in the Southern District of New York where they transfer the case. I hope a good event occurred about 3-4 weeks ago when a federal judge in the same courthouse in another case where they're being the government's being sued on the environmental issues came out and really blasted the government and also has allowed discovery in that case. Because if we're allowed discovery in my case, you're going to see people like fall like fireflies because, as you eloquently stated, there's no way that all these events occurred without our government knowing about it. Were, I believe, actually participating in it. If you recall, if your listeners recall, Osama bin Laden smiled when he heard the planes hit the building, so there might be some connection, but he was like flabbergasted. He couldn't believe that the building fell. And after about 2 weeks, he took credit for it, because I think he had nothing to do with that. In my opinion, the opinion of many people I'm involved with, the World Trade Center towers, number 1 and 2, did not come down because of the planes that hit them or the fires from the planes. Those buildings came down by controlled demolition. And as shocking as that might say, it's our government did it. And a reference point in history, and I'm sure you've mentioned it before, but allow me to mention it, Operation Northwoods, 1962, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which for your listeners are the heads of every military branch in our government, in the government, the Army, Navy, Marines, etc., they had a plan in 1962 to destroy American property and injure and kill American citizens, to blame it on Cuba, to go to war with Cuba. President John F. Kennedy said no. And if you would take that document, which has now been declassified because it's 40 years later, and take out the word Cuba and put in the word Afghanistan and Iraq, you would have the same situation. And as scary and frightening as it is, your listeners should look at it, because this administration has done more to take away individual rights than any other administration in 225 years. You brought up some interesting points. Let me bring up a point. The late Peter Jennings interviewed Rudolph Giuliani on September 11, 2001. And I have the actual transcript from that, and not altered. Some people, unfortunately, have made changes to it. But Rudolph Giuliani said, I went to the scene, and we set up at 75 Barclay Street. My first question is, why didn't they set up in World Trade Center 7? Because that's where they had their multi-million dollar center. I believe that Building 7 was supposed to be hit by another plane that day, and when it didn't occur, because there were other planes off course. That's why they dropped that building at 5:30 in the afternoon. But they were at 75 Barclay Street, and then he was told that the World Trade Center was going to collapse. Get out of there. No building before or after, no steel and concrete building ever collapsed before. So that means that someone had foreknowledge which related it to Giuliani. And Giuliani started to get out of there, but they like stayed there for 10 or 15 minutes. They said they couldn't get out. But they weren't killed. They weren't injured. Whereas he did not radio that same thing to the police and firemen who were then slaughtered because the buildings came down. Someone knew ahead of time.
Well, I think that the biggest question is Building 7, there is no way that this was, you know, brought down simply because there were some fires in the upper floors. And even if there was a fire at the lower floor, the whole base of the building wouldn't have exploded. And there are very, very few pictures of that building coming down. We actually have them in a video called The Day That Changed America Forever. And when you see that building come down at 5 o'clock in the evening, not hit by any airplanes at all, you know this was a controlled explosion, and somebody had put those explosives in there a long time ahead of time. And I would simply point out that as far as coincidence is concerned, I'm sure you know who was working in security on the North Tower.
Absolutely.
And would you like, I mean, for our listeners out there, this is the most incredible. I mean, what are the chances that the president's brother, Marvin Bush, would be working in security in the North Tower? And, you know, what are there, maybe 1 to 300 million, maybe, that he would be there, you know, and working for some months before the 9/11 attack?
Absolutely. Well, the same thing which you related to your listeners about the fact of the fighter jets not being available. And many of your listeners will go back. What I used to identify fighter jets is Payne Stewart, the golfer, back in 1999. Most of your listeners, because it was on national television, Payne Stewart's plane was flying from Florida to Texas. When it was off course for 3.5 minutes, the FAA was notified, and fighter jets came out, looked in, realized no one was living. They discussed the issue. If that plane was going to crash into a populated area, they would have shot it down. They didn't have to deal with that issue. But they accompanied that plane to South Dakota, where it finally crashed. My question to you, which you so eloquently set out with the exercises, where were the fighter jets on 9/11? They weren't there, and yet on 67 occasions in the year before 9/11/01, fighter jets came out when planes were off course. I mean, the whole basic question of 9/11 doesn't make any sense when you just look at the basic questions. And how about the fact that Bush and Cheney refused to set up a 9/11 commission? They finally gave in. They ended up spending and I think it went up to $20 million, but they gave a date certain that the investigation, supposed investigation, had to end, whereas $65 million was spent on Bill Clinton, whether he lied about sex. Now, you know, there's something wrong with those kind of numbers. I traveled last year for over a month over in Europe. The people over in Europe, 95% of them believe and know that this Bush administration was involved in 9/11. And we've been trying hard to set up a 9/11 International Independent Commission, and I have a feeling it's going to be set right now. My client, I started with Ellen Representative, but unfortunately Ellen Mariani withdrew. My new client is William Willie Rodriguez. He right now is in Venezuela. He's there with Jimmy Walters, who sponsored the trip for us, one of the trips in Europe last year. And they're talking to President Chavez down there about setting up a independent commission to look into 9/11, because it must be done.
Well, of course, what's Ellen Mariani doing? Is she still pursuing her claim against the government?
No. She's been there. I'm not sure exactly what she's doing, because I no longer represent her, but she is not participating in the RICO suit at this point.
Are you still, of course, pursuing the RICO suit?
I'm still in it. We withdrew that initial case without prejudice. We refiled. We have a very detailed complaint. If I can mention, our website is www.4thetruth.com. That's 911-4-F-O-R-thetruth.com. We are pursuing the case. It's a very detailed complaint. We've raised a lot of the questions here, and it's an absolute disgrace that our United States Congress, that other Republicans, Democrats, Independents, governors, other people who should be outspoken on this tragedy, our news media. I thought it was a joke about a month and a half ago when President Bush was criticizing Putin from Russia, saying they don't have a free press. unfortunately, we do not have a free press in this country because, unfortunately, most of the press is controlled by corporate giants, which really put the foot down on what can and cannot be repeated and broadcast.
Or as someone once said, freedom of the press is if you own the press, you're free to print whatever you want to and withhold whatever you want to. And ladies and gentlemen, they do that. If you haven't read the book we carry called The New Media Monopoly, why, of course, it's written by a professor, Ben Bekdakian. It's a 2004 excellent a summary of how a very small number of people, five mega corporations, control about 95% of the American people. Probably the 95% of the American press, and determine what the American people hear, read, and see. Well, you know, as you certainly you were mentioned, that Jimmy Walters and William Rodriguez, they are actually still trying very, very hard to get some sort of an independent investigation. William Rodriguez, of course, has a fascinating story. Would you like to tell our listeners about his story?
Oh, sure. And he was late for work that day. On 9/11, and if he wasn't late for work, we probably never would have heard a story because he would have been at the top. He was a porter at the World Trade Center for about 20 years. And his job when he got to work was to, every morning he went up to the top of the building where the windows of the World Restaurant was and started his day from the very top of the building cleaning the staircases going down. He'd be coming down. That morning he was late. He, along with about 14 other people, were in the basement offices of the World Trade Center North Tower when before the first plane hit, so we're talking about before 8:46 in the morning on 9/11, an explosion ripped through the basement of the building. And they at first didn't know. They thought it was a boiler. They didn't know what it was. And then one of the people came out with his skin actually falling off his body, which is significant because he heard and he saw the effect of an explosion in the building before the first plane hit.
And, of course, this was in a sub-basement, and the man, of course, had been badly burned by this explosion that occurred before the plane hit, before the first plane hit. That's the important part of William Rodriguez's story. There was an explosion before the plane hit. How could that be?
Well, because, as you said, let's take a look at Building 7 for a minute, then we can come back. Building 7, there were fires on several floors. And the owner, Larry Silverstein, came out in a documentary and said that he got a phone call from the fire department at 5:20, and they said they couldn't put out the fire, so he said, let's pull the building. Well, firemen were in that building during the day. Firemen go into buildings to put out fires. They don't go into buildings to set explosives. And what happened there, when they pulled that building 10 minutes later at 5:30 on 9/11/01, Building 7, the building came down, in its footprint. Now, what's significant about that is you have to look at the debris from Building 7, and it was like pulverized material, the same material as ended up with the North and South Tower, Building 1 and 2. So that's significant. What happened is, for those buildings to come down, when you saw them start to rip from the top, before that, there were also simultaneous and reported by other policemen and firemen. The firemen had muzzles put on them, said you cannot discuss what happened. But there were explosions in the sub-basements, which would hurt the, that's how the building came down. If you look at the North Tower when it came down, the first thing that moved, you saw the antenna on top of the building dropped. Well, the antenna was in the center of the building, which meant there was a drop way down low in that building. They neglected to tell the people, they mentioned that, I think, in one place in the 9/11 Commission report, that there were 47 steel columns in each of the North and South Tower from bedrock to the top.
We're going to be back. You're going to have to hold that. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Mr. Philip Berg. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Mr. Philip Berg. Why don't you go ahead and pick up the story? You were talking about the steel columns. That there are 47 steel columns, and this was a very, very well-built building that never would have come down simply because there was a fire in it.
Absolutely. The government has tried to tell us that what happened, that the fires weakened the outer structure of the building, and the building then pancaked and came down. Let's look at a basic fact. If one stood on top of the World Trade Center before it collapsed and dropped a basketball off the side, it would have hit the ground free fall in 9.8 seconds. The North and South Tower was in approximately the same time. Each dropped in about 9.8 seconds, which is an impossibility. If it pancaked like they told us, as each floor hit the floor below it, it would have slowed down the process and it would have taken at least a minute or a minute and a half or 2 minutes for each building to fall. Second, if it pancaked like they said because the outer structures failed, they would have pancaked around the center columns, and you would have left the center columns standing, which did not occur. The residue ended up about into the sub-basement and then about seven stories high at ground level. I submit it would have probably been 20 stories high if you bought the pancake theory. It's just nonsense. It could not have been. And if we look at the original films that came out from that day, you'll see puffs of smoke coming out every few floors as the building was coming down, which basically was the columns being blown out because into footage that would end up on a flatbed truck. And that's how a controlled demolition works. Now, very interesting, where's all the material from there? Granted, they had to try to move things around and things because the first thing you try to do is look for people that are still living and trapped. After that did not occur, after about a week or two or three, whenever they decided that no one else could be living in there, everything should have stopped with clearing that site. Because then they should have looked to try to determine exactly what happened. But they didn't. They cleared that site as fast as they could. Everything was taken to the landfill in New Jersey. Well, guess where all the steel is? It's not there anymore. All the steel was taken to landfill, New Jersey, cut up, sold, shipped to China. It's gone. They're making paper clips out of it. So there's no way to do an investigation. If we really wanted a good investigation of what happened, we should have brought in the TV show CSI, and they would have done a better investigation than our government did there. And our government did not investigate it on purpose.
Well, I think that they were really, they cannot let the American people know that they either knew it was going to happen beforehand or, they had something to do with those buildings coming down.
Absolutely.
Because think of the implications. If the American people realized that, they never would have allowed us to go to war with Afghanistan. They never would have allowed us to go to war with Iraq. And they certainly wouldn't allow us now to expand the war into Iran and Syria. And people don't understand, what does Osama bin Laden have to do with going to war with Iran and Syria? And yet that is obviously the next stepping stones along the way. The American people don't understand that they're being manipulated. Most of what we read simply isn't true. And millions of Americans are going to die unnecessarily, and probably millions of Iranians and other people throughout the world are going to die. And what we're bringing about, and we're bringing about World War III. This is not happening by accident. It's long-range planning. And where is the outcry from our conservative leaders? And where is the outcry from our liberal leaders? I mean, there's only a few people who are willing to speak out, you and certainly Jimmy Walters, William Rodriguez, and a few talk show hosts, but everybody thinks we're crazy, or so many people are really afraid. And this is really one of the most frightening things to me, is that so many people in America are afraid today.
You're absolutely right. On my website, I have...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Mr. Philip Berger. Do you want to put your website out there? We'll be glad to. Go ahead.
Sure. www.911, the number is 911, the word four, F-O-R, the T-H-E, truth, T-R-U-T-H .com. 911forthetruth.com. On there, I have a petition, and we have about 15,000 signatures. I'd like to get more if people want to get on there from your show, and even to give you some credit, they should put Dr. Stan or Stan next to it so we know where they came from. But I should have not 15,000 signatures, I should have 15 million signatures. But many people, like one of my relatives said, I'm not signing that petition because I'm afraid the government's looking at it. And I said, do you realize what you just said? If you're afraid of your government, you're lost. We've lost. And many people are afraid of our government, and they're scared to death. They won't sign a petition. They're afraid. I'm probably being followed. I'm probably being taped. But I'm going to pursue this till the last degree because I want the truth coming out now, not 40 years from now. I'm also appalled, if I can say it, at what's going on in Alexandria, Virginia. Recently, I was asked to join. I'm now a member of the Scholars for 9/11 Truth. And we held a news conference several weeks ago at in front of the federal courthouse where Zachariah Moussaoui is being tried. It's outrageous what's going on. They're taking this guy who I really think is a nut, and he's coming forth. He's saying all kinds of stuff, like he was going to do something with the shoe bomber and he was going to have the fifth plane. I mean, he took the stand. He's really contradicting a lot of the evidence. But what's really outrageous is that our government is pursuing Zachariah Mousaoui, and they're doing that to take the attention away from the real culprits of 9/11, and that's Bush and Cheney. Because let's look at Dick Cheney. I recently at that news conference said that if Zachariah Mousaoui, and I'll say it again on your show here, if Zachariah Mousaoui deserves the death penalty, so does Dick Cheney and also Bush. But we definitely have word on Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney, on the morning of 9/11, was in the bunker under the White House. And with him was Norm Mineta, the Secretary of Transportation. And Mineta testified before the 9/11 Commission, as did Willie Rodriguez, by the way. Willie Rodriguez, my client, testified in front of the 9/11 Commission about the explosions before the first plane hit, and that was not in the final report. As Norman Mineta's statement, Norman Mineta stated he was in the bunker under the White House on 9/11 when a young man came in the room and said, the plane is 50 miles outside of Washington. Then he said the plane is 30 miles outside of Washington. Then he said the plane is 10 miles outside of Washington. And the young man said, are the orders changed? Dick Cheney turned around and said, no. Everyone in that room thought then that that meant that plane coming into Washington was going to be shot down. It wasn't shot down. It was allowed to go in and hit the Pentagon. Therefore, Dick Cheney had advanced knowledge of what was going on. So really, he deserves the death penalty. He deserves an investigation. This is such a joke with Zachariah Mousaoui saying that you know, if he had told what he knew to the FBI, 9/11 wouldn't have happened. Well, if George Bush and Dick Cheney and the rest of those cronies told what was going to happen, it would not have happened, because it could not have happened without the complicity of our federal government, and it's an outrage.
Well, of course, they were tracking Zachariah Mousaoui before 9/11. I know that to be true because I personally talked to the woman who runs the Airman's Flight School in Norman, Oklahoma, and she told me that approximately 11 days before 9/11, the FBI was there asking about Zacharias Mousaoui. Now, the idea that Zacharias could actually fly a plane is ridiculous. He couldn't even fly a single-engine plane. As she ran a flight school, they gave him his money back because he could not fly a single-engine plane. There's no way he would be able to fly a complicated, 747. So, obviously, this is a diversion for some other purpose, and he's doing exactly what Timothy McVeigh did. And that is, of course, he's saying, I'm guilty, go ahead and kill me. And, of course, it's so interesting that Zacharias Mousaoui was certainly associated with somebody else, somebody named Nicholas Berg. You remember Nicholas Berg?
Yes, I do.
And, of course, what was Zacharias Mousaoui doing being associated with Nicholas Berg, who was beheaded over in Iraq? I mean, there's so many things about this whole story that just don't ring true.
That's right, and I'm glad you brought up something about Oklahoma City, because that what happened there is still being investigated by people in Oklahoma City, because they don't buy the government story what happened there either. And we have to find out the truth is, because we cannot allow our government to keep doing these type of things, because, you know, like over in Europe back in the 1940s, people said, oh, you know, they heard about the death camps, they heard about what was going on, they said, I don't really believe it, until they were taken. You know, it's very hard. People have to wake up, open their eyes, and do something now. We need what's called, in my opinion, a peaceful revolution. We need people to get together here. Thank God we have the Internet, because people, if we didn't have the Internet, we would not be where we are now. But people on the Internet can communicate with each other. They should go on, you know, tell their friends to come back and listen to the tape of the show. I think it's
okay, we'll be right back in just a moment.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Phil Berg. We're talking about really what happened on that fateful day in September 11th, 2001. And of course, we've never gotten the true story. The Bush administration insisted on actually censoring the initial report, which was the Joint Intelligence Committee report, and of course that came out in 2003. And then they insisted on actually censoring the 9/11 Commission report that came out in 2004. And if there's nothing to hide, why did they insist on hiding it? It should be that obvious. I'm sure you've asked that same question, Mr. Berg.
Oh, absolutely. But the reason they're hiding it, remember, they fought to have a 9/11 commission formulated because they didn't want an investigation. And really, the end result was actually a joke because they didn't look at the basic questions. They didn't answer anything. You know, it's true. I'd love to hear if we have any time for some of your listeners here, because the fact is that it could not. The best is, I ask people in the street every day, do you think they told us the truth about 9/11? And everyone says 95% of people tell me no, because with the technology that we had in 2001, there's no way that these events occurred without our government knowing about it. Now let's look at one other thing. No one other than Zakariya Moussaoui, who pled guilty, no other person has been charged, tried, or, you know, even charged or tried, let alone convicted. No civilian or no military person was even court-martialed for something they didn't do on 9/11. Doesn't that raise serious questions? I really believe it does.
Oh, I think so, too. I think there's no question at all. This is all a cover-up, and we actually carry a wonderful book written by a CIA agent, Robert Byrd, who says that one of his friends was told by one of the highest-ranking CIA officials that when the dust finally clears after 9/11, the American people will realize that what happened was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph of intelligence. And how could the death of 3,000 Americans be a triumph of intelligence? Unless, of course, this was, of course, the opening salvo to bring us into this great war that is going to transform the world. Right. They had to know exactly what they were doing. And the fact that that quotation is never utilized, and nobody's ever asked Robert Byrd who it was within the CIA who made that statement. It's a most amazing thing. Nobody ever talks about it.
I want to direct everyone to, I think the main objection of most people to the inside job theories is why.
All right, fine. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment as we bring our other stations right back on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Philip Berg. His website is www.911forthetruth.com. That's 911forthetruth.com. And again, our telephone number, if you'd like to give us a call, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 464-8295. Mr. Berg, you were saying that the major question that many people ask is why. And so what do you say to them when they ask why?
Well, it's also who did it. And because it's really not the government. It's really a small group at the top influencing people below who really didn't know the plan and why. I believe the who and why is a few individuals like Dick Cheney, Bush Sr., who was also in Washington that day, Karl Rowe, some people at the top, part of the New World Order. They stated in a book they even wrote that to have something take place, they need a catastrophic event like a second Pearl Harbor. And that's what this event was, like a big event, because their goal was to go in Afghanistan. Their goal was to go into Iraq for two reasons. For the opium in Afghanistan, 90% of the opium around the world comes through Afghanistan, and the oil in Iraq. You know, what's the difference between Iraq and North Korea? Oil. It's all about oil and money. We even heard Al Halliburton overbilling at one time, $300 million. Then a month or two later, the government came out and said, well, they're the only one that does this kind of work, so we'll pay them. If you or I, you know, try to over-cheat the government for $100 or $1,000, they're all over us. Halliburton, on the one billing, was $300 million. I can't even imagine how much they're ripping us off on people that are close to Bush and the top-level people. Most people in government didn't know what was going on. Like when you mentioned the exercises going on that day involving simultaneous hypothetical planes crashing into buildings, it threw off some of the FAA. They didn't know what was going on. But the people at top knew. There were no fighter jets. Maybe the first plane should have hit the World Trade Center, because we could say we never thought that would happen. But that second plane should have never hit. And what goes on out in western Pennsylvania, there's a real question on that. And I'm not trying to take away any people that died on that day. That plane, I really firmly believe from our investigations, a number of people investigated, that that plane was shot down.
Well, I have a friend, I don't know if you know D.V. Kidd, but she has talked to the military officer, the Air Force, I think he's a reserve officer, who fired the shot that brought the plane down. She's actually talked to him. I'd trust my life with D.V. Kidd. And so I don't think there's any question it was shot down. How could you conceal that from the American people? Why, of course, we have to create this myth about let's roll, let's have, you know, we're all going to attack those wicked terrorists. They can't let the American people know that our government shot that plane down, because if that is true, then everything else is a lie.
Absolutely. But also significant, many people have seen, if I can bring this up, the aftermath of plane crashes, and you see debris all around the ground. We don't see that at the Pentagon, and we don't see that in western Pennsylvania, in Shanksville. What the government has told us with those two planes, and I hope your people are sitting down when I tell them, they've told us that when those planes crashed, they vaporized. Now, the only time I've ever heard of a plane vaporizing before is in a sci-fi movie. It just doesn't, planes don't vaporize. You know, we've taken planes off the bottom of the ocean. They're telling us in Shanksville that that plane disappeared into a coal mine, underground coal mine. Well, why didn't they bring it up? Because they tell us there's nothing left because it vaporized. I don't buy it. Many people don't buy it. A Zogby poll of people in New York about a year ago said that I think it was 49.6% of the New Yorkers did not believe what was told to them. And I know, I think Scholars for 9/11 Truth right now is trying to raise money so that they can do a nationwide poll on this, because the truth has to come out.
Well, I think we have to keep hammering away at it. And, Chris, the other side is frightened to death that the American people would find out what happened, because there would be murder charges against people at the highest levels of our government, and covering that up, you know, certainly the covering up a crime is equal, actually, in many respects, to that crime.
That's very significant, because if you recall, and your listeners, I know you do, but your listeners should recall, that Nixon went out of office not on the break-in. He went out of office because they covered it up.
Right.
So we're saying here that our government either made it happen or let it happen, and they should be held responsible. But if nothing else, they've covered it up. And based on cover-up, the people in the top level of our government should be out of office at this point.
Well, I really am rather encouraged. You know, as you well know, Jimmy Walters spent a great deal of money in New York running ads, full-page ads, day after day in the New York Times and television advertisements. He spent I don't know how many millions of dollars, and an awful lot of people in New York know they've been lied to. But tragically, most people outside of New York have no idea what really happened in New York. They have no idea that the people of New York, at least, know, you know, that this is a fraud. And, of course, Jimmy Walters had hoped that Elliot Spitzer, the Attorney General of the State of New York, would actually take this case. And he may have even been considering it, and then somebody made him an offer he couldn't refuse. And what is he going to do, run for governor or something like that?
He's running for governor. Excuse me. I know there's a protest. I know that he has an appearance this Thursday night. People have asked me to go up there to actually challenge him at the occurrence that he's going to be at, to say, Attorney General Spitzer, you're running for governor, but you failed as Attorney General. How could you have not looked into the murder of close to 3,000 people? I mean, he had the right to do it, or Morgenthau, who's the DA in New York, had the right to do it. People were murdered on that day, and just to accept the story, as you stated earlier, our government supposedly knew nothing about it, but yet within 24 hours, they had the photographs and names of individuals who supposedly were the 19 hijackers. And of that, supposedly between 5 and 8 hijackers are of the supposed 19 are still alive and well at this point.
And of course,
over in Saudi Arabia.
That brings up the point of the constant cover-up. Actually, Insight Magazine, which was published by the Washington Times organization, really fine magazine, and they actually had pictures and talked to the families of the people who were still alive, who were supposedly on the plane. And immediately all of their advertisers said they dropped out, and the Insight magazine closed. I personally know, for instance, in San Francisco, where they had, on September 12th, the day after the 9/11 attack, they had an article in the first edition of the paper in the morning talking about Mayor Willie Brown being notified on the evening of the 10th of September he should be cautious flying on the 11th of September. That article appeared in one edition, somebody put pressure on. It was never seen again and never published in subsequent editions. It was taken down off the net. Now, who could actually be powerful enough to get articles pulled out of the newspaper and then the articles pulled down off the internet? So somebody is covering up. And if there's nothing to cover up, why are they doing it?
And I think we have to
go ahead.
I've said, if I am wrong, let the government pull me into a room, spread out all the evidence, show me I'm wrong, I'll withdraw my lawsuit. But they won't do it because they can't do it because they have lied, they have covered this up, and we're talking about the murder of close to 3,000 people, not just from the United States, from people around the world. And that's why we're getting support from people around the world. And what we need here, I think what we have to do, and perhaps you can help with it, we have to get, I think, our college students, up on what's going on and maybe start something through the college campuses demanding the truth, because their future is at stake in this country, and hopefully through various colleges they can stand up and say, we want the truth, and through their newspaper and those things. I'm trying to make some contacts on college campuses right now and to see if we can get something done.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, one of the most interesting things is what happened at the Pentagon. Here this plane suddenly disappeared into the, into the building. And, of course, there's no tail. There's no wings. There's one little piece of red and white fuselage out in front there, but it's a little tiny piece and looks like it came off a very, very small plane. And you can go to the inner part of the Pentagon. There's a perfectly big round hole about, maybe 15 feet all around, where supposedly the nose buried through there, but of course there's no nose of the plane left. But the most interesting thing, one of the most interesting stories, is told by my friend Jim Mars, who actually interviewed a woman who was in the Pentagon. And, of course, she had her child there, and, of course, after the explosion and the smoke, and she grabs the child, and she goes out through the hole in the front of the Pentagon. There's a lot of smoke, but there's no fire, there's nothing else, and of course, then she's taken to the hospital. And then, of course, when she gets to the hospital, a couple of men come in wearing black, a typical government employees, and threaten her if she ever tells the truth that she actually walked out through that hole. Now, how could that have happened if the plane had gone in there and was burning so furiously it just vaporized? Obviously, they've not told us the truth. I don't know what happened, but I do know that there's a cover-up. And I believe Jim Mars is an honest man, and he's told me personally that he talked to the woman.
Interesting about the Pentagon is, and I'm sure people, when I say this, they'll remember what happened. Across the street from the Pentagon, there's a gas station only servicing people at the Pentagon. They had a camera, and they have film, and another block or so back was a hotel, and I think it was a Sheraton, and the employees were actually looking at the film from what they saw, because their cameras would have picked it up, as would the Department of Transportation down there in Virginia. Well, the people in the hotel were looking at the film when the FBI came in sometime right after, took the film, and no one has ever seen it again. So you got film from a hotel, gas station, and the Department of Transportation. The Pentagon, in my mind, would have been one of the most secure buildings in this country. Where were the anti-aircraft missiles to knock off whatever is coming in? And where are the other pictures? You can't tell me there's only one camera that was around the Pentagon, because I don't buy it. And show us all the footage. Show us what's on those films. And then, I'm either with you or I'm against you. You know what I mean?
There were batteries. They were just inactivated at that point. That's the amazing thing. And then, of course, they crashed into the part of building that was being renovated where there would be the lowest number of people. Wasn't that thoughtful of the terrorists?
Right. And then how about the turn that plane supposedly made? And how about the crystal clean grass showing nothing that close? Because if a plane had come down that close, that grass would have been burned out.
Well, I don't know what happened that morning. I actually tracked down two people. Both of them, one of them was a priest, the other one was supposedly there. And both of them say they saw the plane coming in. I don't know what they saw. All I know is that there's something very wrong with this whole story. Maybe there were plants, maybe the plane did come in, but planes don't just vaporize. And that the wings came off, there would be at least something outside. So I don't think we've been told the truth, but the question is, what really did happen?
That's right, and as you state, if they would acknowledge any one part as a lie, then the whole story falls down, so they have to stay consistent with it. But it's just an impossibility that the way they've told us it happened, it happened. It could not have been. And that's why the legitimate unanswered questions are frightening. People have to realize that we have to know the answers to these questions, because then the truth will come out.
And supposedly the black boxes in the two towers, my understanding is they just all sort of disappeared. They vaporized as well, and yet, of course, they couldn't vaporize. And there actually is one story, maybe you have corroborated it, by a man who was there when they found the black boxes, and the government took them and denies they were ever found. So there's so many answered questions out there. And obviously this is a cover-up, but the implications are that the government murdered those people. They knew it was going to happen, and now they're covering up for whoever or whatever happened that day. And when you can't trust the government, who can you trust? And can you really trust them to, to take us into a war with Iran and Syria? Would they use that power over the lives of the American people to destroy this wonderful society we have? And I really believe that there are inherently evil people working at the highest levels of our government, because I really believe we're involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. There is no way to explain what's happened other than the fact that there's organized evil out there. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, give us a call now. How about this Scholars for 911? Is that Scholars for 911 Truth or what?
Yes, it is.
All right, fine. Dr. Griffith there?
I'm sorry?
Who is in that organization? Who leads that?
Jim Fetzer is one of the leaders in there, and Jim and I participated at that news conference in Alexandria, Virginia, like 2 weeks ago. And there's educators in there, there's engineers in there, there's lawyers in there, and it's a group of individuals who are now trying to raise enough money so they can do a poll across the United States to see what the people of the United States feel about the events of 9/11.
But of course, it's not how they feel, it's what are they willing to do about it. I mean, the Congress should have an independent investigation. But they're all afraid to. They know what happened to Congressman McKinney when she had the courage to stand up. They went after her. They ran a Democrat against her in the Democratic primary to get her out of Congress.
Right.
They will go after anybody who tries to get the truth out. They will target them, and the government has unlimited funds. And, of course, when the government fears the people, there's freedom. But when the people fear the government, then we are very close to tyranny.
Oh, and we are close to it, and that's why the people, it's time everyone stood together, spread the word to their friends, make sure they listen to your show, other shows, get on the internet and discuss and look at my website and other websites and find out and demand that our government, demand that their congresspeople, that their senators start a full-scale investigation. The big thing is, even when every plane was grounded in the United States for 3 or 4 days after 9/11, President Bush allowed planes to go around the country picking up members of the Saudi family to fly them out of this country without even being questioned. I mean, how outrageous is that?
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. Does you have a question?
A question. I want to ask your guest, some of the accounts of the two planes that hit the towers indicate that the planes were not normal airliners. They didn't have windows, and at least one of them had a strange-looking pod underneath the fuselage, and I wondered if he could comment on that.
Is that true? I mean, do we have any real definite proof? Because I've heard this story, but is it true, Mr. Berg?
Well, Mike, here's the thing. I don't know if that's true. And this is one of the problems, I believe, in the 9/11 movement. And I gave a speech a year ago, and I think that's why Jimmy Walter put me on the international tour. I said, look, let's agree with what we agree on, and what we're not sure about, push it to the side, and we'll get results. What's the difference if a plane really hit or had no windows or if it had a pod? Some people, and within the movement, there's some people that are actually fighting, back and forth about that issue. I don't know the true answer, but the question really is, number one, we've been lied to. The basic questions of 9/11 have not been responded to. So when you get into these other issues, they're basically extraneous issues being thrown around by some people. They might be right, they might not. If you go back and look at Operation Northwoods, they talk about the switching of planes. They talk about no people being on planes. But that's frightening for people. I don't want to discuss those issues right now. The issues we have to discuss are the basic unanswered questions. And we'll find out later if there was a pod or not. I don't think it matters because, as far as I'm concerned, that did not bring down the buildings. The buildings came down because of controlled demolition. There's no other way with the law of physics that those buildings came down.
And I think the big thing is that they planted disinformation out there. They have people pretending to be conservatives. They're not, Mike. They're doing everything they can to confuse us. Well, Mike, do you have anything else you want to ask? I guess Mike's gone. What have you got? John calling from Los Angeles. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty well. Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to affirm that the Building 7 is definitely anomalous. There's no way that could have happened as supposedly it did. The plane likely was shot down in Pennsylvania because of the dispersion of the engines. But for the Trade Towers and the Pentagon, I think there is some credible explanation. So
that's why we're better to stay away from those, which I do, and I think Mr. Berg would admit. You know, that we go after the things we know, and that is, number one, building number 7 was controlled demolition.
Oh, absolutely.
And they did not put those explosives in while the fire was burning that afternoon. And, of course, number 2, as I mentioned, my friend TV Kid is talked to an Air Force officer who admits that he fired the shot that brought down that the plane in Pennsylvania. Now, if that is true, I mean, why aren't we hearing about that?
Yes, indeed. Well, the evidence of the engine, one of the engines landed more than a mile away, and that meant that only because the engine separated in the air at a considerable altitude could that ever have possibly happened.
How would you want to comment on that, Mr. Berg?
No, I agree with you, John. I've heard those reports, and I agree with you 100%. And as I told you, if you were listening earlier, I saw a news report with a reporter standing 5 miles from the crash scene saying, look here at debris and suitcases from that plane. When a plane crashes, things don't bounce a mile for the engine or 5 miles for suitcases. It had to be shot down. And again, I'm not trying to take away from any of the people that lost their lives that day. They're all heroes, but the government is just basically lying. And when they lie on those facts, they've lied on every fact about 9/11.
Anything else, John?
Well, it sounds like we're in serious trouble if such a high level that such a terrible event was apparently construed, if not merely acquiesced to.
Have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness?
Yes, and it's an excellent treatment.
Thank you so much. We have to recognize what motivates and energizes the people on the other side. God bless you, John, and thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
Amen.
Okay, fine. And I would mention, of course, that I will be speaking this weekend. Actually, I'll be speaking tomorrow and the next day in the Los Angeles area, and again on Saturday. So if you want to know any more information about that, why, you can give it a call our exchange, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, if you'd like information on the talks we're going to be giving in the L.A. area the rest of this week. Philip, I want to really thank you so very much for being with us. I hope you'll keep in touch with us. I appreciate everything you're doing to try to get the truth out.
Well, I appreciate it. Give me a call. I'll be glad to be on your show at any time or join you at any speaking engagement around the world, any place, any time, because the truth has come out.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I hope you enjoyed the program. We have some excellent material. We have actually 3 pamphlets we've put together called Foreknowledge 911, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. All 3 of them are only $9.95. We have the video, Jihad in America. I recommend you get it because part of this footage was shot in 1988 and 1989 by the FBI, I believe, and there's no question they knew everything about this Islamic terrorist movement, and they were monitoring all of the terrorists, but they couldn't let the American people know they knew exactly what they're doing. And that's why we haven't had any serious, you know, attacks in America since 9/11. This whole thing is under control. The whole Islamic terrorist movement is under control throughout the world. Have you noticed that they've never brought Khalid Sheikh Mohammed back, the mastermind, the wicked person who actually orchestrated this thing? Why haven't we brought him back and tried him? Well, because some people think that he wasn't working for Osama bin Laden. He had another very rich employer and right here in the United States. We don't know it's true, and nobody's ever seen Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of the first and the second World Trade Center bombings. I wonder why nobody's ever seen him. Well, anyway, of course, then we carry books, Sidney, The War on Freedom, Dr. Dennis Cuddy's two excellent books, Cover Up, and September 11th, Prior Knowledge. We recommend all of those books, too. And then, of course, we have a great four-tape set entitled 9-1-1 Update, and then we have The War on Terrorism. You really want to, you need our information on 9-1-1. We have, I think, some of the finest information available, but let me suggest my newsletters and three pamphlets, $4, 9-1-1. And remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't yet or ordered your case of my books, remember the book is $12.95, but you can get 64 of them for, $149.95. You can sell them for whatever you can get for them at $12.95 each. You can give them away. An excellent tool to introduce people to the spirits of battle, because we can talk about all the symptoms of what's going on, but you have to get to the source, and the source is organized evil and the secret societies. Remember, both George Bush and John Kerry belong to the same secret society. What do you think the chances are? There are only 15 people a year that get there. If you work that out statistically, the chances that happen by accident is about 1 in a trillion, or maybe 1 in 20 or 30 trillion. Would you gamble that that was accidental, or would you think that maybe it was planned that way? And the adepts of the secret societies have a different worldview, and our president has never renounced his loyalty to this occult society to which he's sworn horrible bloody oaths. I would feel far better if he swore if he disavowed his loyalty to the Skull and Bones Society. And if you want to know about Skull and Bones, we have a great four-tape set. We've got a number of books. We even got material from Skull and Bones on their membership list. It's all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free newsletter, give us a call. Remember, we do carry the Berkey products, and if you get them through us, either the Big Berkey or Berkey Life, where you get a free four-tape set or video reproduced, and go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there on the Internet 5 hours a day, shortwave 4 hours a day. Telstar 5, which is a satellite, you can listen to us 9 hours a day. Of course, you won't have much time for eating and sleeping, but you'll get an awful lot of information, and we've got some great co-hosts there, certainly Joyce Riley and Chuck Chris Meyer and Pastor Butch Paul. So we ask you to give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family and helping us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure. We're heading into a financial collapse. We're heading into war with Iran. But the very foundation of this nation has been destroyed because, of course, at one time we were a nation under God, and now, of course, this country has repudiated God, and our leaders have repudiated God, and the great tragedy is most people have no idea what's going on. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty.